Thank you. dance when he brought me in. He gave me a chance and new life within. He gave me a chance and he let me be one of his chosen for eternity.
Church tonight. Praise God. Yeah, let's see her. It's good to have brother and sister Anderson, isn't it, from Brother Dow's assembly. For sure glad to have y'all with us tonight. They're up in this area working. Praise God. Thank you for considering us. Need a place to stay? We certainly can fix you up. Go ahead, Sister Painter.
Anyway, I don't really have much to say. I just have a thankfulness in my heart today. This morning when I woke up, which it won't mean anything to anybody else but me, but when I woke up, the first thing on my mind and in my heart was a song of thankfulness and praise to the Lord, which you would think that would be a normal occurrence, but for me, the past, I would dare say, probably 6 months to a year almost, usually my first thought when I wake up is, oh no, another day, you know, I'm a stay-at-home mom, four kids, you know, it just seemed like it's just, you know, a never-ending stress for me, and a lot of that I bring on myself, but still, so when I woke up, I just was just like, thank you, Lord, for caring enough about me and putting that joy in my heart. I've been telling my husband I need joy, and I've been telling him that for I don't even know how long now. We'll walk in the evening and I'm like, I still need joy, you know, and he's probably tired of hearing that, but I've been thinking a lot here lately about the only real joy and the only real peace that we can find is in the Lord. You know, we can search, you know, in, you know, just everyday things. You know, my children bring me joy. My husband brings me joy. But that's not the kind of joy that I have been longing for. I've been longing for that deep, you know, feeling from the Lord. You know, I'm still his child. He still loves me no matter what. And so I'm just thankful for that experience this morning. And yesterday, I had to take Lila to her orthodontist appointment, and I'm notoriously, like, terribly early everywhere I go, and it drives doctors crazy. I'll meet people and like I've been here, you know, for 30 minutes, you know, but it's kind of annoying to doctor's offices, you know, because I'm sitting there 30 minutes, 45 minutes early, but anyway, we're driving along, and I wasn't speeding, but I was going fast, if that makes sense. Out where we live, it's all back roads and curves, and I really don't like them, but that's the way it is. We were going down a road that I take all the time, and like I said, I was going fast, but I wasn't speeding. And in my mind, I felt, you need to just slow down. You're early anyway. Don't know what you're going fast for, you know. So I slowed down, and then sure enough, as I had that thought, a car. I had taken one turn like this, and then there's another curve coming up like that, and the car coming around it, my first thought was, they are going way too fast, and they were completely in our lane, and so, you know, it's amazing how much can go in your mind in just a few seconds. It's crazy, but so I was like, surely they're going to get over, and in my mind, and then I realized they weren't, so I braked, and they finally corrected and got to where they were supposed to be. But I told Nathan, I said, if I hadn't been, you know, together and realized what was happening before me, we would have had a head-on collision. And I even asked Lila, you know, is that what you saw? You know, because I have crazy eyes, and sometimes they're not always honest with me. You know, I see things that aren't really the way they are. But she's like, yeah. And I said, well, what'd you do? She's like, I just looked at my feet, you know, for pissing a wreck. I looked at my feet. I'm like, okay. But I'm really thankful that the Lord had his hand on Lila and I and prevented us from being in what could have been very, very bad. And it just lets me know that he's with me no matter, you know, the circumstances, and no matter what I'm going through. And I know he's there, he's leading, he's guiding. I may not always, what's been going on in my mind a lot here lately is, you know, we can pray, we can ask him to help, but then we turn right around and we pick it right back up. It's like we're telling him he's not good enough. He's, you know, he can't fix it, so I'm going to take it back. It's the way it is. And I've been thinking about that a lot. I don't want the Lord to think that I don't trust him enough. And Nathan and I were walking last night, and he just briefly made a comment about, you know, trusting the Lord. You know, actually, we were going to town anyway. Doesn't matter. But he's like, because I was showing him when we went to town. That's what it was. I was showing him where the wreck could have been. And he's like, but you're safe. You know, nothing happened. You're fine. Because I'm like, I don't know. It just made me real nervous. He's like, you're fine. God's with you. You know, you're safe. And we've got to learn to put our trust in him in every situation. And that's what I feel the Lord's been dealing with me a lot here lately, is no matter what, he's there if I'll just trust and lean on him. And I'm just thankful to be here, and I just desire y'all's prayers.
Sister Painter made it through that. You know, one time I was sitting down, I think it was Brother Wayne, Sister Ann, and was talking about, you know, I think I brought the subject about the crazy drivers. I'm driving a lot on my job, and got talking about how the right of way, and you know, well, we got the right of way. Sister Ann said, well, you can be dead right too. So even though, Sister Painter, you probably had the right of way, it's a good thing you slowed down. Good thing God talked to your heart, because you could be dead right. And having rights is not everything it's all cracked up to be, is it? There's one right that you can always keep. You have the right to remain silent. And you'll never go wrong with that, you know. There's a little love song that a couple people have done. It says, you say it best when you say nothing at all. And I don't think he was thinking of, you know, women keeping silent in the church or anything like that. But the gist of the expression was, you know, you don't have to say a thing. You show your love. And isn't that what God does for us? And not only does he do it, but he says it, doesn't it? We read his word and feel his spirit. And my Lord, I thank God that you know, they say, I've heard it said that Pentecostalism is the religion of emotion. And I'm glad we've got that. And I'm glad also that we've gone beyond that. That, you know, there's not only that, but we're not just staying in emotion all the time and then, you know, led about for every wind of doctrine or whatever's going on over here, over there, you know. But there's also a foundation of the Word of God that we can get happy and rejoice if we have great emotions. Be thankful, Sister Painter, that God is with us, even in the small things. And then then we realize God's with us. He touches our hearts and minds and gives us the Word of God, and gives us a ministry that will deliver the Word to us. And it gives us the Holy Ghost that we can receive things and consider things. And you know, if you were just a person that, you know, already had your mind made up all the time, you know, and you can't hardly receive things, can you? You can't do that. I mean, unless you know it all. I guess if you knew it all, you could. But you know, I don't think God just gave, you know, everybody everything all at once, and that they're all in the know. So, matter of fact, one man, I guess he gave quite a bit. That was Adam, and it still didn't quite take, did it? So, but so I'm thankful that with all the blessings that we have and all the accumulation of knowledge and wisdom and the Spirit of God and the emotions that we have that we go through and that are good and are good for us, that God God touched Apostle Paul and he wrote in the Scripture, though I have all knowledge and all of understanding, have not charity, it profit me nothing. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I'm as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal, I believe how it goes. And so, I'm glad that we have these things. And I was thinking today, I'm probably going to say a whole lot and not say anything. You're trying to go to a point, but you can't quite get it. Maybe it will spark somebody else's interest at least, and to finish the thought. I was thinking today, driving on the road a little bit, and well, I'll tell you what, I was listening to there was some kind of radio program I was listening to. They was talking about the Ten Commandments, and they were saying, well, you know, and I don't know what it was, they had this million man thing about praying and, you know, fasting someplace they had, you know, a while back, several years ago. Yeah, and that they were all getting together and supposed to, you know, the idea was to, you know, dedicate to God and your family and you know, to refocus your thoughts and toward God and your family and that type of thing. Well, then there was a man, of course this was found out later, I mean he reported this later, he went to about 500 men there. It was all, I guess it was all men. That's who he talked to anyway. And he said, alright, can you name me the Ten Commandments in order? You know how many could do it? Just one. And I'll have to confess, I can't either. But he did leave it out. Said even though they don't have the, you know, the remembrance of the total Ten Commandments, they still understand that got it in their hearts that they, you know, won't sin against God, as it were. And so, but I was thinking, and you know, that's what we want in it. Not just only, it'd be real good to remember the Ten Commandments in order, as it were. But God was trying to get something in people's heart, wasn't he? That was the thought. And my thought was, why can I get this in my heart? Can I get this in my heart? But till I do, let me walk in the commandments. Apostle Paul said, I keep my body under, at least after I preach to others, I myself become a castaway. So what he meant was that he still walked circumspectively in the law, to because he knew he still had things to overcome. And one writer, I think it was Apostle Paul, he said, well, he talks about the law being a schoolmaster, and said that they were under a schoolmaster till faith comes. And then when faith comes, you're no longer under a schoolmaster. And that's still somewhat true today. I myself under the law until faith comes. And then when faith comes, actually it's faith and love. I think in the scripture it says the shield of faith and love or something like that, or the breastplate of faith and love. Until I get that in my heart. God help me get that in my heart. That's what I want in my heart. Until then, I'll keep my body under. And I'm thankful to be here.
I know how this works, and I know everybody's sitting there. I'll tell you in advance, you're going to be a little disappointed. I'm not a preacher. I do good to stay up a few minutes and give a few thoughts, but I do know you're all standing there waiting on me. So it is really, really good to be here. We've been traveling a little bit, and we're stuck in another city over the weekend, and of course needed to be in service, and there wasn't a body church. This company I'm working for, the owner attends a spirit-filled, non-denominational church. I thought, well, this will be good. And it was good. There were some really sincere people, dedicated people, had a very well-performed venue. The facility was very nice. They have a lot of outreach, a lot of youth outreach, and they talked about that a lot. And they talked about the spirit a lot. They really did try to create an environment to welcome the Spirit of God, but they were so rigid in organizing the ability for the Spirit to move that it just couldn't. There were a few people who were genuinely trying, and like I said, I'm sure there are some fantastic godly people there living everything they know. But you couldn't get away from that rigidness. And I came in here, and of course my parents came to the body of Christ when I was 9. I'm now a little older than 9, and so this is what I've known. And I come in here, and I hear the band, and that last service we were in, they were going to sing first verse chorus, second verse chorus, first verse chorus, and that's it. You know, they didn't have the option of extending that, and then they were going to sing the next song because that's what you were supposed to do. And, of course, I came in, and I hear the band and the different choruses, and we're at liberty. We can just relax in that. The band director can opt to play for an hour. I played the trombone for about 7 years in our band, and sometimes I thought Brother Darren Dahl was going to have us play for an hour. But I love that. I love that warmth, that kindredness of the body of Christ. And it's really, really good to be here with you. We will be headed back out Saturday, so this will be the only service we're here. But I do thank God for your warm reception and for being here, upholding the name of the Lord and the body of Christ.
While the mic is close, I'll take advantage. I, too, am very glad to be back in service where I can get my soul filled. We left home last Tuesday, so it's been a long journey. And as soon as you walk in, you do. You know, it's like home. It's wonderful to be with God's people. And I may have said this the last time I came. I've been in the body since I was 3, but I still had to get my own vision and realize where God had given me a chance to be a part of, and I'm thankful that he did. There's many that grew up with me who either they chose not to, you know, or they just, their eyes were never open, and I never want to get complacent in that. I always want to remain faithful. And recently a brother was at our church, and he was I think it was Brother Vili. He was talking about how you wonder how people, because I have before, that have been here 20, 30, 40 years, leave. And he said they just get weary. And I've been thinking about that a lot, and I don't want to ever think, just because I've been here all those years, that I got a quick ticket. But I want to stay vigilant and keep him before my eyes at all times and in my heart. And I also wanted to, I know it was collectively, the body itself was another thing I was thinking of when I came here. At the youth meeting, Donovan McElroy is our son-in-law. And when they told us y'all had been praying for him at the beginning of one of the youth services, it blessed me, because, you know, it was scary to find out that he had the brain cancer for my daughter and us as well. But, you know, we have a powerhouse built in of people that know how to pray and know how to touch heaven. And I just really want to tell you that I appreciate you taking the time to pray for him. And it's not unnoticed, and I really appreciate it.
That's Sister Inez Watson really had a bad day today too, and she's got terminal cancer. And we've been praying for Brother Donovan, I guess almost every service somebody mentions him just about. And so let's have special prayer for these two right now. They're an urgent need, and let's ask God if he would touch them, help them. You know, God, if I understand it right, Sister Inez probably at this stage has probably several tumors, and they're large in her body, and it just goes through her, this type of cancer goes through your whole body. But I have no doubt, you know, that God could just dry that up in a second. And, you know, I was visiting with her yesterday, and she has had some dreams that are interesting, you know. I was telling her, you know, that it's interesting how, I was just using Job, how he was probably one of the most righteous men and maybe the most important man at the time of his life to God. And yet we probably don't have a history of any man going through any worse ordeal than Job went through. And I'm sure if you'd ask him while he's going through it, you know, would you rather escape all this? I'm sure he'd have probably said, yeah, let me out of here. But I'm sure in the end of his ordeal, if you'd have talked to him, said, I got exactly what I needed, and I wouldn't take nothing for what God did for me. Whether he lived or whether he died, God did something special for Job. He was, and that's something that's hard for people to understand that in the Bible. People that you would think, I've used this, recently mentioned it, that the Apostle Paul, that he had to be one of God's most important men at the time of his life, outside of the other 12. And look what he suffered. Look what he went through. Beaten 3 times, shipwrecked. How many times did he go to jail? I'm not sure we know all the times he went to jail or stayed in jail. And even when he was in there, I don't know how long he had to wait for the cloak that he asked for. God didn't make him exempt from any of those things, but it worked something. It had to be working something in him, or God wouldn't have let him went through it. And it wasn't all, just like in Job's case, it wasn't all about Job. Job was caught in the middle of a situation between God and Satan. I mean, we know who that is, but God, it's written, it's holy writ today what God did. He won a victory for all of mankind there, and I, no matter what we go through in life, I want to be like Brother Thompson. I want this fixed in me, that no matter what God, if he uses me for his glory, if he uses me to win a victory over the enemy, or whatever he does in my life, I want to be able to receive. I know the grace is sufficient, but I want to be able to receive his grace. I want it to affect me. Brother Talley said Sunday, he said, I want to get something out of this. I'm in here. I'm in this. I've been in it my whole life nearly, and I want to profit from what I'm going through, what God's taking me through. I was listening to Brother Clyde Patton on a tape when he was 67 years old today, and he said, you know, you're going to have your ups. And he said, it's been uphill. He said, I'm 67, and it's been uphill all the way. But he said, you know, he said, I hadn't been 70. I don't know what it's like at 70, but when I hit 50, I didn't know where I was going to get in my 60s, but here I am. And he said, I still have my trials. What he was saying was, he said, people in his church was saying, always talking about how hard it is on the young people. He said, I got tired of hearing that. I wanted to know it's hard on everybody. You know, living for God, and even though it is joy, even though it is sweet, he is a sweet Savior. Even though it is, there is a peace in it, still there is a battle. There's a pull. There is an enemy. And then there's the overcoming of the flesh. And rather, God, you know, you can get, sickness can come on you by chance. Chance happens to all men. It can come on you by, in judgment. It can come on you, God can, it can come on you for the glory of God. The disciples asked Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents? He said, neither. This happened for the glory of God. God could just, I don't know if God put it on him so he could show his glory, or if he, it happened to him, could have happened to him by chance, and God said, I'll use this for glory. I don't know how that worked, but it was for the glory of God. And it also, sickness can come to bring death. So, and then that's the other part of this. We're petitioning God for Sister Inez and Brother Donovan's life, asking God to suspend it or sustain it, to give them more time, especially Donovan. Sister Inez is in her 60s, but she would like to have some more time. She wants to she told me she had a dream, it's been a while, a little while ago, but not too, not too long ago, she had a dream that she was walking with her Bible in her hand, and there was a lot of African Americans following her. And they said, "We're going to have a banquet." And she said, "I said, no, we're not. We're going to worship the Savior." And see, that dream really meant a lot to her. You know, she just felt like, you know, God is going to bring people in after a while, and different ones of us are having influence on and all of that. Anyway, we're just continuing to ask the Lord, you know, if He would consider these people's lives and answer our petition. We still accept the fact that if God's not going to heal them, we have to accept His will and know that there's a wisdom in it that we can't see right now. But since the Lord hadn't revealed anything to us, we're still hanging on to hope and faith and believing that if God can work it in His will, He will. If He can work it out, He will. Brother York? Sure. Maybe Brother and Sister Anderson would like to come down and stand in for Donovan. Let these brethren pray and lay hands on you. I just feel like we ought to have special prayer and ask God. I know we've been asking Him, but you know, I just keep saying that's what Jesus said. Just be like the little woman before the unjust judge. Just keep pestering Him. I don't think God minds for you to pester Him. You ever had a little kid just keep pulling on your leg or keep saying, "Daddy, Daddy, Mama, Mama"? Just, you know, you'll give in. If you're not careful, you'll give in. Wouldn't it be good if God would give in to our petition? Oh, God. Hallelujah. All right, you brethren, pray for these needs here. Oh, God. Precious Lord.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes.
Precious
Savior. Oh, God, we give praise.
Oh, Lamb of God.
That our Savior is listening tonight to our prayer.
Thank you.
Up.
Praise God. What a wonderful spirit we feel here tonight. I came in tired for church tonight, and I feel better. I feel a lot better. It's been a long day, and I like Wednesday night service. We're children of the Most High God. We work hard, and school started for a number of families and children. I know, it's a little bit of change in pace for them, and change of pace for mom and dad. And you know, you find yourself busy, and you find yourself, pursuing the things that, your natural needs, and it becomes a struggle. If you got health issues, it makes the struggle even greater. And at least I'll find myself at times, longing to take my shoes off and relax a little bit. I felt that way tonight. I was tired when I come in. Enjoyed the band practice. It was a joyful time. People are laughing and practicing. That's always nice. Just sometimes you have to take things in baby steps. You know what I mean? Sometimes you gotta encourage yourself, or you gotta be encouraged a little bit at a time. And that's why, Paul said to forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as a manner of some is. Some people do. Some people withdraw. They pull off to themselves, and you look around, and you don't know what happened to them. Or they may end up in a life of sorrow. But I'm going to tell you tonight, I'm thankful to be in the house of God. Tired or not, hallelujah. Long day or not a long day, I'm happy that we made a decision a long time ago to make our way to the house of the Lord when the doors are open, and to be a part. Somebody said, you get out of it what you put into it. And I want to put my life into it. I want, like it's already been said, I'm expecting a reward. We like that. We always chuckle when we say that the benefits are out of this world. I'm expecting that reward. I'm expecting to make heaven my home. I'm expecting to be able to at some point get an audience with the Lord. And I don't necessarily have to ask him a whole lot of questions, but hey, I found out he's a pretty loving guy. And I'd like to just have him put his arm around me every now and then, comfort me on the back and say, hey, welcome home, and enjoy this reward God, this bounty that God has provided. What they say, bananas as long as your arm and stuff like that, and swing, dangle your feet off of fluffy white cloud, and all those things that that are important to some people. And we had the privilege of going to Batesville last weekend, and thankful that we got to go. And it just so happened that we was in some of the most prettiest part of Arkansas as far as I'm concerned. And so we found a cold, clear stream, and the sun was high and the temperature was high, and we dangled our feet off in that cool water. And after we went to the meeting, and it was like having, it was just a full day. We really had a good time, enjoyed being in Batesville, enjoyed the fellowship, and happy to see, our people represented there. And I got a thought while we were there in that meeting. It might tie in a little bit to the service. I think it will. Brother Thompson mentioned, you have a right to remain silent. You know, a lot of times when the Lord wants to get a hold of us, we resist, Brother Daniels. We resist arrest. Right? And Brother Jason Sutmiller was talking about how some they've had, through the years, they've had different ones come in and you know, they were alcoholics or this or that. And some, you know, they got arrested before they got could get saved. Before they could get them saved, they got arrested. You know what I mean? Some people, their life is such a wreck that you can't get them changed before, you know, they either get thrown back in a pen or in some case, they end up in the grave. And anyway, as he mentioned that, I thought, resist arrest. Resist arrest. You know, if you take arrest, the word A-R-R-E-S-T, and you drop an R out of that, it's arrest. A-rest. And you know, there's some people, myself included, we resist arrest from the Lord. You know, Paul said that he was a prisoner of the Lord. Jesus told his disciples that they were to cease from their labors, that they were to, there's a scripture there, it escapes me right now, we're to learn how to rest in the Lord and let him supply all of our needs. And if you turn over Hebrews, the fourth chapter, Paul, he kind of goes through this a little bit. In Hebrews 4, he said, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. The Lord is wanting to bring us to a rest. He's wanting to, I keep saying a rest, like, you know, we use that as though you're going to be bound up in, you know, cuffs or whatever, thrown behind bars. And that happens. And of course, you know, the Bible says that he led captivity captive and he gave gifts unto men. So we already know that he's trying to bring us under captivity. He's trying to make us his prisoner, his love slave, if you will. And so we get that part of arrest. We know that he's trying to bind us up to him. But he's also trying to give us a rest. He's trying to allow us, he's trying to provoke us to the point where we trust him enough that we cease from our own labors, our own hopes and dreams, and we put our focus and our desire upon him. He said, lest any of you should come short of a rest. He said, for unto us the gospel was preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Beloved, tonight, know this, that God loves you, and he gave his life for you to be saved. You know, Brother Thompson mentioned that scripture last Wednesday night, John 3:16, I think it was. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall find rest, shall be saved. And so that's what Paul said. He said, being mixed with faith, he said, it did not profit them because they didn't mix it with faith. He said, for we which have believed do enter in into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in, because of unbelief. Now, I'm not naive to believe that God, you know, has been said as a cosmic Santa Claus, that he just gives us everything. You know, people quote that scripture, where two or three are gathered in my name, their Lord is. You can ask any whatsoever, and he'll provide. I understand people use those name it and claim it tactics, and I'm not naive enough to tell you tonight that that's the truth, because it's not the truth. You can, there's been a few times in my life where I was thankful that God didn't give me what I asked for. You know what I'm saying? And so I know it is according, ultimately, it's according to his will and for his glory, has already been said tonight. I understand that, but I want you to believe also that God can do anything with anything. You read over, I think it's in Ezekiel 37, where there was a valley of dry bones. And God told him, he said, prophesy, son of man, unto those bones. And the next thing you know, he starts prophesying to the bones, and one bone goes to the next bone. And then the next thing you know, he's got skeletons, and God makes sinew and flesh come up on those bones. I can just imagine what an unbelievable sight that must have been to sit there and look at a bunch of dry bones, bleach white bones, and then the next thing you know, there's human beings standing right there in front of you, breathing, living organisms, an army, the Bible said. And then he said to the Son of Man, he said, speak thou unto the wind to blow life into these dead bones. Let me tell you, the Word of God, Paul said, how can a man... he said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing cometh by the word of God. And how can a man hear except there be a preacher? Thank God for the preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so they speak to these dead bones out here, and they speak to the wind, and they bring the life of God into the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. And so understand that if God can take dry, bleached, white bones of men and women, or men maybe that have been dead for who knows how long, and raise them up from death unto life, thank God he hears our prayer today. There's not one thing that's hidden from him. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered. Hallelujah. There's not, even the Bible says that a sparrow doesn't fall from the sky, he doesn't know. Praise God. He said, some entered in because of unbelief. And he limited a certain day, saying, and David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Don't let this world, don't let your long day, don't let your bills that have piled up, or your health condition that is hindering you, or your family's frustrations, or the world's conditions, or the political elements of society, or whatever hot point has become, on the mainstream news cycle. Don't let those sayings rob you of your belief that God is in control. Thank God, he is on the throne, and there is nothing hidden from him. He knows your need, just like we sang that song, and he's able, he's more than able to supply every need that we have in our. Praise his wonderful name. He said, harden not your hearts. He said, for if Jesus had given them rest, then would he have not afterwards spoken of another day? He said, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. He said, for he that entereth into his rest, he hath also ceased from his own works, as God did, as God did from his. And that this was a scripture that I was thinking of earlier. Jesus told his disciples, he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In other words, he's saying, take this calling and enter into this rest. Now, we understand, Brother Smith, as you've already illustrated with Job, that there's going to be trials and tests. We know that. We understand, but look, the world is not exempt from trials and tests. The ungodly world suffers with trials and tests. The wicked suffer with trials and tests, but there's no profit in their trials and tests. They don't get anything out of it. My Lord, we get something that works way down deep inside and helps us begin to understand the way this carnal man responds or reacts to trials and tests. And then we can pinpoint, as Brother Thompson said, we can walk circumspectly around ourselves and find these weaknesses in our lives, and we can begin to work on these trials and these tests. He said, think it not strange, these trials that come upon you, as though some strange thing happened to you. No, God is working in our lives. He's working in this church. And you know, it does bewilder me. It bewilders me sometimes. The things, you know, why is this happening? Or why is that happening? I told somebody recently, I said, I don't know the answer to this. I don't know the answer to those questions. But here's what I do know. God's given me something to work with. And therefore, He has an expectation for me to work. So therefore, I'm going to work with what He's provided. What's that song? I'm going to keep on working till He comes. There's a scripture that says that we're to judge nothing before the Lord comes. And then, when He comes, and when He judges the matter, every man shall have praise. Every man shall praise the Lord. You know, when God comes on the scene, and He settles a matter, and your hearts focus on Him, you'll be filled with such relief and joy and thanksgiving that God judged the matter. Every man will be praising the Lord when the Lord comes on and judges and has His way. Praise God. That's my desire. That should be all of our desires, is Lord, have Your way. Have Your way in my life. Have Your way in my brother's life. Have Your way in this community. Have Your way in the body of Christ. Have Your way in the world that we live in. Lord, have Your way. I wouldn't want it any other way. He said, for the word of God is quick. Well, let me come back to that. He said, for he, in the 10th verse, he that entered into his rest, he hath also ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. You know, it strikes me here that the labor, that the burden of unbelief is what causes the hardship of life. It's that constant battle of unbelief. Whereas if I would just believe that God is God, I could find rest even in the midst of turmoil, just like a bird in a storm, and I've got a sure foundation hanging on a branch. If I could just find that place in my life where I'm just settled that God is on the throne, that my belief is in Him, and I'm not carrying that labor, that burden of unbelief, that heavy load of unbelief. He said, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man shall fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. He said, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Are you resisting arrest tonight? Are you letting your unbelief provoke you to resist arrest? Can you rest tonight? Can you become a prisoner of the Lord? Can you allow your life? Can you allow all the turmoil, all the quirkiness, all the weird things that go on, all the things that are specific to your little world? Can you let all those things become the Lord's and become His prisoner tonight? Or are you resisting arrest? He'll give you an arrest. He'll give you a rest tonight. If you'll let your belief, your hope, your dreams, your desires, if you'll let them become focused on Him. If you'll let your faith overcome your unbelief, He will give you a rest tonight. The last verse in that chapter, he said, of course, well, I should read this. The 14th verse, he says, seeing there then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast this our profession. For we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He said, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in the time, grace to help in time of need. My God, what a wonderful thing we have. What a wonderful promise that we have tonight. We can enter into a rest. We're entering into a rest. And you know the warden, the keeper of the jail, thank God he's been touched. He knows the feeling of our infirmities. Thank God there's not one thing that he don't understand. Hallelujah. There's not one sorrow that we're experiencing that he's not familiar with. Thank God. There's not one joy that he hasn't experienced also. There's not he's dealt with the highs and he's dealt with the lows. He knows where we are. The Bible says that through his word, it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, dividing even the joints and the marrow. Thank God. He knows everything about us. Praise his name. We can be arrested tonight. We can find a rest tonight. Don't resist arrest. Hallelujah. Trust the Lord. Lean on him. Come up under his wings and let him protect you. Praise God. Let the joy of the Lord become your strength. Let it gird you up. Hallelujah. My Lord, and even in the midst of your sorrow, we can still have a promise and know that God is God and he's still on the throne. Even in this life or the life to come, there's nothing hidden from him. My Lord, he has the power of death and life in his hands. Praise God. Woo! What a wonderful Savior that we're serving. Hallelujah. There's not one thing hidden from him. Not one person. Not one animal. Nothing. There's nothing in this world that he's not familiar with. Hallelujah. Including you. You can enter into his rest tonight. Believe it. Believe it. Believe it. Believe it. Believe that he wants you. Believe he has his hand upon you. Believe that he's got a gift for you. Believe that he's got a need that... your needs have been supplied according to his will. Hallelujah. And let me tell you, beyond that, as far as, you know, the way I see that element there, I might have mentioned this before, but they used to call Brother Merle the old Lord's will, because he would always say, the Lord willing. God, if you'll do, you know, God will do this, the Lord willing. And of course, he trusted God for his healing. Made an example of that, both him and Kenneth Merle for me. And when we moved to Little Rock, somebody asked me, they said, why are you moving to Little Rock? And I said, well, because it's the Lord's will. And they said, well, we don't want you to go. And I said, well, I can't help that. I said, I feel it's the Lord's will, and I still feel that. Of course, we've been here. How long have we been here, guys? 14 years in January. And I said, I feel like it's the Lord's will. And they said, well, I don't like it. And I said, well, I wouldn't want it any other way. Brother Daniels, I sold my house. I sold everything I had. Moved. We looked like the Beverly Hillbillies. That's probably why we didn't get nobody to help us. We moved down here, had a cattle trailer, I had bicycles tied up on the side. I had my, my wife's wrought iron glider up on the gooseneck in the trailer. It was quite a sight. Somebody from Faulkner County would do, I suppose. But it was quite a sight. But it was hard. It wasn't easy. It wasn't an easy choice. But I felt God in it. And I want you to know I still feel God in it. Thank God I still feel like the Lord is leading us. I still feel like his hand is upon us. I mean, just here's Wednesday or Sunday morning when those people walked in. They came to Little Rock to come to this church. God has this church on his mind. He does. God has this church, 8101 Colonel Glenn, on his mind. And I'm not talking about these four walls. I'm talking about each of you. He has your needs in mind. Believe tonight. Enter into his rest, as Paul put that in Hebrews 4. He said, cease from your labors. Cease from your labors. Cease from, as Brother Thompson said, being right. Now, I know that hurts a little bit. It hurts me to say it. Cease from trying to be right. Trying to maintain your right of way. Can you do that? Paul said he'd rather, he said, I wouldn't want to make anybody an offender for a word. He said he'd rather, he chastised him. He said, can you not suffer to be defrauded? Would you consider that tonight? And I don't mean that in a striking way. I'm encouraging myself because it hurts for me to say it too. Can you suffer to be defrauded? Can you cease from trying to be right? Trying to maintain your right of way? Would you give up your seat? I would. Gladly. I have. I prove it to myself. I believe I would. Most of the time. There's still something in me, though. You know how it is. You get, you wouldn't have to follow me around Little Rock very long. You find out. I may not give up that spot that I've been holding on to for the last 10 miles. You know what I mean? But I guess what I'm trying to say is consider this. As Paul said, consider what I say. Maybe the Lord will give you something else. You can help me on it. I want to consider that, Brother Thomas. I want to consider from maintaining my right of way. You know, here lies Mr. Hardaway. He was killed while maintaining his right of way. He was right. He was dead right as he sped along, but now he's just as dead as if he was wrong.
Yeah.
Shake hands and be friendly. Good night. God bless your hearts.